Hello, listeners, and welcome to another edition of Crunch Time here at BIMCrunch.com, the fun and personal interview that is the perfect way to get to know members of the global BIM crew. Today's guest is one of the newly appointed members of the BIM 2050 group, as well as a BIM engineer at ImTech. Here to give his thoughts on various hot topics is Dwight Wilson. Hi, Dwight. Pleasure to have you with us today.
Hi, Jack. Good to speak to you.
Great to speak to you, too. And at the time of this recording, you literally yesterday just actually had your second official BIM 2050 meeting and the third meetup overall. I know there was a bit of a one where you met each other for the first time and had a bit of a networking event. What was the discussion like during yesterday's meetup?
I think it was another brain dump. I think we've been made aware we've been using a Slack platform, which is really rapidly got us together talking, contributing and sharing, and it was an opportunity to sit down with each other. You know, we're quite diversely spread across the country, which is really good, and we were in front of Andrew Link from CIC, and he sat in and tried and, you know, felt the synergy of the group, saw where our ideas were going, and we started to look at, you know, an output. What do we want to do considering all the things we're experiencing and the things that we're seeing? So yeah, it was a nice catch-up, should I say, and laying a semi-roadmap.
Absolutely. Now, what has been the overall experience like so far? How has being a part of BIM 2050 helped you and changed the way you think in regards to your job as well?
I think it was what I needed in terms of inspiration. Getting a BIM 2050 opportunity and actually getting in and seeing what everyone else is doing and people facing the same problems and, you know, some really brilliant people in that group. And I feel very young being part of it. And then I feel like, you know, straight away, this is possible because there's such a weight and body of experience and good people behind it that, yeah, I feel a bit more inspired going in work the next day. I was like, yeah, guys, well, you don't know the half. Hey, just come back from a BIM 2050 meeting. So, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I imagine so. Listen to you there. It sounded like you were a bit surprised that you actually got chosen.
Yes, yeah. The thing is, I'd read the report last year and it seemed at that time, you know, you kind of go through the names and who's involved. Like, this is, you know, really top stuff. And then when it came about as the opportunity, you know, looking for applicants, and I went, well, okay, I'll apply. And I put something in and I talked, you know, very aspirationally. And I said, you know what? I bet people have got a lot more substance behind it. You know, I was not involved in Twitter. I wasn't in the BIM crews. I wasn't in any sphere. And I've got an opportunity to be part of it. So, yeah, I was surprised. Pleasantly surprised, but surprised nonetheless.
Well, you've said, you know, there's a lot of notable people in the original cast of BIM 2050, and now you're one of them. So, you know, maybe people are looking at the current list of names now and thinking, oh, Dwight Wilson, yeah, get in, he's in there. I'd like to be like him. So you never know, next year or when the next wave of people, definitely be looking up to you. We've definitely heard that you've got a very good input. Obviously, it was your idea for the group to get chatting over a certain app, wasn't it?
No, I can't take credit for that. It was Ryan Tennyson, the guy from BIM Technology, but we talked about it at BIM Show Live. So I had kind of gone, this is amazing, I'm taking it back to ImTech, I'm going to use it there. So when it came about, when the group started using it, I had a bit of experience, so everyone started thinking, hey, you're the Slack guy. Why? It's gone back to front, but it was Ryan's baby, and it has been a really great find. It's one of the biggest problems, communication, just in general in life. So, you know, for us to sort that one out fairly quickly was an achievement.
Yeah, now I spoke to your fellow BIM 2050 cohort, Dan Rossiter, in a recent episode of Crunch Time, just a couple of episodes ago. We talked about a lot of different things, but a lack of young professionals attending BIM events was one of the hot topics. Now, he said one particular reason that may be is because the pricing of the conferences, you know, it's a bit too high for people who are, like, you know, just getting into the industry and don't have maybe a lot of cash. Have you seen a lack of convergence between young professionals attending industry events?
Yes, definitely. And I think there's a twofold thing there. I think promoters, or we say event organizers, don't quite understand the price issues. However, BIM Show Live did, because my ticket as a student was £100. And I'd like to, you know, people to hear that, because I didn't think enough students knew. It was only one line. It goes, there's a special rate for students. I was like, oh, I'll inquire. And it was £100, which is significantly less than the list price, which, you know, is a few hundred pounds. And I think just if more people knew, then more students would have went from the area or from local businesses that didn't have to pay the large travel fees. In addition to that, I think that kind of just mirrors the lack of young people's involvement in industry events full stop. So with their institution, shall I say. I'm part of Young London, which is for SIBSE, and I think that's one of the few young kind of guild or organisation of engineers or architects or people in construction. Otherwise, we generally struggle. So we need to kind of inspire that first, and then you'll see them coming to industry events. It's not going to be a case of, they kind of have no audience. So you kind of need to get an audience from the institutions to want to go to your bigger paid event. Can't really get them to come to free ones.
Well, yeah, well, that's just kind of a problem too, yeah. Now, you tweeted earlier this month about a lack of inspiration in construction, kind of like what you just mentioned there. You tweeted that construction really has an issue inspiring people outside of the BIM/tech bubble. Now, can you elaborate on that a little bit further for the listeners? Do you think that there is still a long way to go in inspiring graduates and students to really embrace BIM and the tech field?
I think it's, at the previous company I worked at, I have a very good friend. We've done our apprenticeships together. And just he's not, say, un-tech savvy, but he just had a bit of, you know, a despondency and he can't change things. So I'd always be going about, like, yeah, listen, we can do this. We can change this. Look, if we introduce this, the boss will go, yeah, good idea. And that will drive us and we'll make change and we'll elevate our careers, et cetera, et cetera. And it was interesting, he was talking the other day and he goes, you know what, all that you showed differently from me was a positive outlook on what you could do with construction. And I think construction as a whole being a risk-averse industry and, you know, it's very, I don't know, I find it very negative at times, can get rid of that aspiration and inspirational kind of attitudes. And I think that is as important as, you know, being tech and being savvy, is thinking first, look, I can make a change, and then looking for the way to make a change will inevitably kind of take you to the tech field and the BIM field, because that's the major change happening right now. But we've got a massive job of inspiring people now, say the 20-somethings that are in the industry, to think they can make a change. It's all well and good going to schools and inspiring children, but they're not going to get in the industry for another decade. We've got to do a lot between now and the time, you know, the CEO, the COYOs and those kind of, so let's say, schemes actually get people in the industry with the right attitudes or more aspirational attitudes. So kind of got to tackle right now getting the 20-somethings to believe they can change it and then look towards possible solutions and getting into the BIM and tech fields.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. You know, really, we've got to spread the positivity, really. That's kind of the message we're getting across here, because I know on Twitter I can see there's a few people who can be a bit shady at times, a bit negative. I like to call them the BIM cats because they've always got their claws out, being a bit negative. But I agree, it's spreading positivity, and I think, you know, really engaging people in as many different platforms and as ways as possible is definitely the right way to go about it. Now, your role at ImTech UK is a really interesting one, so I really want to talk about that as well. You have a lot of responsibility, really refreshing to see a young man like yourself in a fantastic position, so well done. You are in charge of developing the digital strategy for project delivery and developing modelling standards and standard methods and procedures. That's a long title you've got going on there. Can you explain a bit more to me about what you do and the challenge behind the projects that you're at the helm of?